Hey, so that kid, AM34, Austin Matthews, is pretty good. Doesn't start the overtime frame for the Maple Leafs. Literally jumps over the board. 5 seconds later, Marlowe to Matthews. Austin Matthews with your game winner in overtime. And the Maple Leafs survive on a night where they were second best for long stretches. They come away with the 2 points and the 3-2 overtime victory over the Montreal Canadiens. Welcome to Maple Leafs game night and our post-game coverage right here on TSN 1050. Gareth Wheeler alongside TSN hockey host Glenn Sheeler and Maple Leafs analyst right here on TSN 1050. Three-time Stanley Cup winner and former head coach Greg Gilbert in studio. Special players do special things and go on and win games. Look, no masterpiece in game number one tonight, but when you got a player on the ice like Austin Matthews, Greg, good things tend to happen, and tonight they come away with a full 2 points because of it.
Well, and you know what? We were talking while one of the breaks was on. They may be looking to win games like this through the course of the year. If it's not the power play that's going to pull them through, maybe it's those 3-on-3 situations in overtime. And I mean, Glenn called it. He says, this isn't going to last long. And it didn't. And you know what? It was a special play by a special player, but also a special play by the assist man himself with Patrick Marleau. Nice little saucer into the middle. Saw Austin Matthews breaking through and pretty quick release, top shelf again on Carey Price. And big 2 points, but I don't think they can be really happy with the way they played over the entire 60.
And maybe that's a good thing, right, guys? I mean, you don't want it to be all smooth sailing all season long, and of course it's not going to be that, but maybe after one game it's a bit of a wake-up call. Like, guys, we were on home ice, we were against a team that's, and the bar set pretty low for the Montreal Canadiens, and for the most part they outplayed us. So let's get our work boots on, and Mike Babcock loves to use that term, that those types of terms, like let's work harder than the other team. Although we might be more skilled, if we're not working as hard as them, chances are a lot of nights are going to play out like this. And yeah, maybe you're going to be able to outscore your problems or get it to overtime and then have the advantage there, as we just saw. Because interesting that John Tavares came over the boards first with Mitch Marner, and then Matthews was the second wave with Marleau, and the game ended in that second shift. So I mean, I could see a lot of games playing out this year this way, guys.
Full lines will be open after the head coach Mike Babcock speaks. We'll bring the coach's comments live for you right here on TSN 1050. Take down the numbers. We want to hear from you a little bit later on. 416-870-1050 and 1-855-591-6876. Those are the numbers to call in. In the meantime, you can text away at 105050 at Wheeler TSN, at Glenn Sheeler, or you can email us at live at tsn1050.ca. Maple Leafs win in overtime. 3-2 was the final. Look, I'll say this. Although there will be room for some criticism, room for improvement, this is what good teams do. They win when they're not at their best. Seriously, they were pushed tonight, and you still come away with the W. We've seen so many times in recent years the Maple Leafs come out with a very good performance and end up giving it all away in the end, even though they may have been the better team. They don't ask how. They ask how many at the end of the day. And typically, the teams that finish atop the standings or near the top, they win games like tonight when maybe they shouldn't. So I think that this is trademark of what is a good hockey team.
Well, absolutely, and it's so true what you're saying, and most coaches will say win pretty or win ugly, but just win, mm-hmm. and that's what happened tonight. But, you know, it's easier for coaching staff to address the players when they do come out from a win like this, because the players themselves know that they were probably outplayed and they were lucky to get away with the win tonight and the 2 points. So it's easier to start getting messages across now when you're going over the video, when you're working on things in practice, and that's how you start your building process through the course of the year. So maybe this is a blessing in disguise. They won the game. They didn't play well. We're outplayed for most of it, but they found a way to win. So now it's easier to, like I say, let's start getting that message across a little quicker.
And where you think back to last year, I think the opening two games they had scored what, 11 goals.
Yeah.
And they went into Winnipeg, they scored 7, and then they, I don't know if it was the Rangers or someone the next game, and they lit them up as well. So everything was sort of coming easily early for the Leafs last year. So maybe things are going to play out a little bit differently. I know it's only one game, but it definitely wasn't a beatdown here by the Leafs. They, for the most part, were outplayed by Montreal, but they outscored them in the end because they do have the better offensive depth, and that kind of shone through in the end.
Let's play how the game ended in overtime, and this is how the Austin Matthews winner, his second goal of the night, sounded, courtesy of the Maple Leafs Radio Network.
Matthews over the boards with Marner, or with Marlowe, who takes the pass. Going in for the shot, a shot, he scores! Austin Matthews wins the game! What a pass from Marlowe! And number 34 makes it 3-2!
Joe Bowen on the call. It actually was a group. They did not start the overtime on the ice. That was Tavares, Marner, Riley. First line change. Like, Matthews couldn't have been on the ice for more than 5-6 seconds. Because yeah, we said, there he comes over the boards. Marlowe comes through the neutral zone. Beautiful backhand pass from the right-hand side. Right on the stick of Matthews. Third goal beating Carey Price high on the night. I don't think he could have done anything about any of them. Just elite talent right there. Great feed, great finish.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, we've been talking about the release of these players now. And Austin Matthews, I know there's been a lot of talk about him over the course of the offseason, really working on his release and his shot again. And that's just another example. I mean, that puck wasn't on there a split second and boom, it's already on its way to the top shelf. And what goalie in this league really is going to have an opportunity to save those kind of plays? And obviously Carey Price, one of the top goalies in the National Hockey League, couldn't get across in time and couldn't cover the right part of the net. And skill like that, it takes over, especially in overtime.
Yeah, a lot of people want to say defense wins championships, but I think offense wins a lot of games too, and we just saw that tonight, right? I mean, and Carey Price being among, if not the best goalie in the world, a lot of people want to believe that. He played great tonight. Now he's probably thinking, like, what else could I have done? And to Beal's point, nothing. Like, I mean, these were perfect shots, so he's going to have a few nightmares about facing Austin Matthews 4 or 5 times a year, because this guy seems to have his number, that curl and release, that, you know, that pinpoint accuracy above the shoulder to the ear. You're as a goalie, there's not much more you can do when you put the puck in the
perfect
spot.
More on that, Shields. Like, Austin Matthews now in season openers, this is number 3 for him.
Wow.
He has 7 goals in 3 season opening games. This was the first one on the ice, on home ice, I should say. Matthews is dominant out of the gate, and I think many of us forget how good Matthews was to start last season, and injuries took their toll. A healthy Austin Matthews is on another level. And I think some of us maybe forget about that to a certain degree. And over the summer, a lot of the focus was on Tavares and Marner. But Matthews is the guy. He is the face of the franchise. And that's why I was surprised this summer when the A's were doled out that Matthews didn't get one. Like, Matthews didn't start overtime on the ice again tonight. It seems like, for whatever reason, he's still very much in prove-it mode in the early stages of his career, even though he is elite, 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 elite in terms of talent. And I don't think that's anything to sleep on. The Maple Leafs will go as Austin Matthews goes. Look, Tavares is great. Marner's great. Anderson, he's solid. But Matthews is on another level for me. Like, he just is.
And I mean, like, geez, you mentioned the 4-goal debut, and then, you know, last year a couple more, and this year now, the 2 goals in the first game, and he missed 20 games last year because of the injuries. If he can stay healthy, I think 50 is an attainable number for him. He scored 40 as a rookie. Now, I mean, he's obviously way more confident, stronger in the league. I think he could score 50, and, you know, you think to the contract negotiation, whenever it happens, whether it's during the year this year or next summer, if he does score 50, if he does lead the NHL, if he does, these maybe Connor McDavid type numbers are right there. I
mean, when star players in the NHL talk, you listen. When Patrick Kane comes out this summer and says, yeah, I watch Austin Matthews first and foremost.
Yeah.
Like, he's the most exciting player in the league for me to watch. Well, Greg, we saw the evidence of it tonight. And again, when you have talent like this, when you have Matthews and McDavids, when you have players like this on the ice, you can win a lot of these close games just based upon that one moment of brilliance. You might have 59 minutes and 30 seconds of average play. You get a couple pucks on the stick of Austin Matthews, boom, special things happen.
No question. But against the top teams in the league playing the way they did tonight, because you got to remember, those types of teams have finishers too.
Right.
Montreal, they're gonna struggle to score.
Yeah, you play Pittsburgh, they're gonna score. Right.
And you play any of the teams we mentioned earlier, the Winnipeg, the San Jose's. You go right down the list, Washington, they're gonna make you pay for your mistakes.
Yep.
And Montreal did not tonight, but I mean his skill and you know, the captaincy thing, I think they're still waiting to see what he is. You don't necessarily give your captaincy to quote unquote the best player on your team. It doesn't usually go that way. I mean, Shea Weber, not the best player on the Montreal Canadiens, an impact player because he's got the experience and leadership. But a lot of times that's where you see the captaincy go, is to players like that. And you know, a few times, like you see now, Jack Eichel's got it in Buffalo. Is he the personality of the player that you want in it? And Connor McDavid giving it to in Edmonton when he first came there, that was a lot of pressure for him, but he's handled it well, and obviously he's taken the reins. So sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
I get it, but I just look at Matthews as the face of all faces of the franchise. There might be a Mount Rushmore here, Greg, but you know who that head of that beast is going to be. And it's the man who was on the cover of GQ wearing that
there
turtleneck.
You just had to get that.
Giving his blue steel Zoolander. I had
poking himself in the eye.
I don't care what magazine he poses for if he's playing like that. Seriously, neither should the head coach.
No, absolutely right. But again, it's more than just scoring goals and putting up points. It's understanding how to handle a dressing room through good times and bad times, how to handle the media. He's had some good tutelage with Ron Hainsey and Patrick Marleau. So is he ready? Maybe he's starting to get to that point where he's going to be ready.
And
so
there's a lot more veteran guys in that room. Like you said, you pointed out the Marleaus and the Hainseys. But and I asked Austin about this at the one time we had a chance to speak with him this summer. He was at an event back in Toronto here. And, you know, how many times have you been on a team where you were not a captain? And he said, actually, lots of times, because as a kid, he would always play up. Right. If he was 11 years old, he was probably playing against 13-year-olds. So there would be always. And I wonder if you grow up like that, if you're always playing, you know, above your age level, and you're not a, are you kind of deferring then to the even though you might be the best player on the ice,
right,
for leadership things, are you not just deferring to the older guys in the room? Maybe that plays a factor, and way he's not too bothered by this right now. As John Tavares comes in the room, people are thinking, oh, he should be the captain, and Matthews is probably sitting there in the corner thinking, it doesn't bother me one way or the other.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And you know what? I agree with you, Glenn. I think that's what he's looking at, and he's also watching though. He's a smart kid, and he's very observant. So he's watching how these older guys handle themselves. And granted, it's his third year in the league, but this is the National Hockey League now. And he's watching the Hainseys, the Marleaus. Now he's going to watch Tavares. And that mentorship that he's getting just by watching these guys will one day teach him how to become.
Yeah, well, he's learning from these guys. I mean, that was, I think Marleau's been a huge influence on all these guys in the room, and I wasn't a big fan of the signing because an aging player right now. But honestly, I'm eating crow to a certain degree because it all makes sense the way the process is playing out. And now that these players are allowed to be a little bit more themselves, be a little bit more the individual, you're hearing that from Austin Matthews, whether it be in GQ, on a podcast with Biz Nasty, like you're seeing his personality shine through.
The facial
and
hair.
And just it's the
small,
little,
yeah.
Honestly, sometimes it's the little things that matter,
yeah.
And just allowing a player also to be able to express himself on and off the ice, it goes a long way. We'll have plenty of time here tonight to go over the things that are a work in progress for this team. Gareth Wheeler, Glenn Sheeler, Greg Gilbert with you. But let's get into another positive story tonight in John Tavares. Scores on his Maple Leafs debut. What did you guys make of his performance over 60-plus minutes tonight? Scores the goal, a really nice goal.
For me, I don't think the debut could have gone much better. Sure, maybe if he scored all three goals, obviously he'd be the number one star of the game, no question. But I think even without that, you got to give Matthews number one. But I think Tavares is a close second, if not a third.
Over 18 minutes, had five shots.
Five shots.
Had a couple of giveaways, but it seemed like he was drawing penalties. He was right in the mix and playing that overall solid game you look for out of number 91.
Yeah, and like you said, he ate over 18 minutes, him in that line. Marner's at 18.5, so a little bit more. 3.5 on the power play for Tavares as well, which, you know, led the Maple Leafs tied with Marner. So he's obviously got the trust very early on from the coach, Mike Babcock, which we knew he had. They have a history together at the Olympics, etc. But I think the debut, 10 out of 10 for me. There's not much I can nitpick here at John Tavares' game. I think he was great tonight.
Yeah, I think he got better as the game went on. I think early he was trying to do too much. A little overhandling instead of using his line mates a little bit. But, I mean, this is John Tavares, a classic example. He scored one goal tonight, but you look at the shot attempts, and five got through, two were blocked, and one was a missed shot. So, I mean, if the younger players can't see that the importance of shooting the puck, look at him. That's eight shots in one game. I couldn't get eight shots in a month.
Just keep it simple. So,
right? I blame your line mates, Greg.
But you're going to see this guy, the way he plays night in, night out, and you're going to see the younger guys learn something every night from this guy, and tonight was a great example.
Let's hear from John Tavares on a night where he scored a goal on his Maple Leafs debut in a three-time over win over the Montreal Canadiens. Here is John Tavares in his post-game comments.
Yeah, it was nice to contribute, take advantage of some space there. Great play by Nas, and I think it was Leaves going on the net. Not 100% sure on that, but Yeah, I just was able to create some space for myself and happy to capitalize and team ahead at that point.
And the reaction?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, just in general, I think the atmosphere tonight was great. And, yeah, the support is tremendous. So just want to build on it. And, you know, there's a lot of room for growth.
John, how limited was time and space out there tonight?
You know, I don't think we played our best. I don't think we played in their zone enough or as much as we'd like to. But they competed and they skated well, put some pressure on us, and it seemed like we were fighting the puck a bit. We just seemed to mishandle it a few times. And, you know, that's the way it is to start the season. It's still a little warm outside and those things you can't control. So we just have to be a little bit more sure of ourselves and play a little bit of a quicker game. And obviously, I think we're a pretty good team when we have the puck. So just do a better job of taking care of it and playing in their zone.
John, I apologize if this has been asked already, but your reaction to the introduction of you at the beginning of the game and the crowd doing what it did?
Oh, it was tremendous. It was, to have that type of welcoming from this fan base and this city is pretty special. And, like I've said all along, I feel very fortunate to have this opportunity and just want to take advantage of it and give it everything I got hope to make him proud and hope to be a part of a lot of success here.
A very measured John Tavares post game, scores the goal at his Maple Leafs opener. You know that he's got to feel good. You know, he's kind of playing the straight man right there. We need to improve. We need to get better. But look, if he really was, as a kid, at home with all of his Maple Leafs gear and bed sheets around, this is the night that he's been dreaming of. And mm-hmm. I don't care if he's 27, 37, 17 years old. It's got to be special stepping on that ice, playing for a team that you grew up watching.
And now to get the first one out of the way, yeah. I think it's huge, right? I mean, and to score a goal in front of the home fans, he talked about the reaction they gave him when they introduced him. All of that's now kind of behind him. I know the media is going to be on him every single day, but maybe the questions are going to evolve a little bit more to just hockey stuff that he's sort of used to in Brooklyn or wherever he was. They're in Brooklyn, they're on the island. They're all over there. That was a terrible situation, and it still is for the Islanders. But, you know, the media is still going to be on him. He's going to be the second guy in the room they go to. If Austin's not talking, he'll be the first. But he's got to feel great after night number one in the blue and white.
No kidding. We'll also hear from Austin Matthews coming up. Frederick Anderson, we're awaiting Mike Babcock. We're going to go to his post-game press conference live right here on TSN 1050. Gareth Wheeler, Glenn Sheeler, Greg Gilbert with you. You can text your feelings, your analysis of tonight's game to 105050. The email is live at TSN 1050, at Wheeler TSN, at Glenn Sheeler. Okay, let's deal with what is a work in progress. And it jumps off the page, giving up 36 shots tonight and being outplayed in the third period. The Montreal Canadiens put a lot of pressure on the Maple Leafs on the back end. There were so many turnovers, I felt like it was the Scotiabank Bakery rather than the actual arena down there. Look, that's something that's going to have to be cleaned up. And until otherwise proven wrong, I'm still going to go out and say that the blue line is really suspect and can come back and bite the Maple Leafs if we do not see some dramatic improvement. Greg, do you concur?
I do concur, and it's like I've always said, you can pick on the defense themselves, the defensemen themselves, all you want, but defense is a five-man game, okay? It's the forwards willing to come back hard. I mean, there was point-blank opportunities tonight for Montreal because the forwards were coming back into the zone and stopping their feet. There was no urgency to get back and own that ice in front of the net, so those plays didn't happen. And expose your goalie to those situations. So it's something that they've got to really focus on working on in practice, cleaning up, because it'll save the headaches, it'll save the close calls, and it's going to win them a lot more hockey games.
And the Leafs tonight, guys, I don't think they look very dangerous 5-on-5, like a lot of us expected them to.
I mean,
three solid lines to go at, and even the fourth line has speed that you thought, okay, they're going to create some goals 5-on-5. They had the John Tavares goal was 5-on-5, but other than that, you got a power play goal and then a 3-on-3 goal in overtime. So that's another room for improvement, if you will, because not only were they not scoring 5-on-5, I didn't see too many scenarios where they were sustaining creating pressure 5-on-5, cycling the puck and working it around and creating offense. I think Montreal did more of that 5-on-5 than the Leafs did. So that's obviously an area of concern that the coach, Mike Babcock, and the Leafs are going to look at.
I wonder how much is down to personnel, whether it's a style of play, like the way the Canadians played against them, whether it was just an off night. Like, what's your read on that scenario? Is this really, an apparent weakness in the Maple Leafs team? Like, on the power play, they look great. Like, moving around the puck, he was flying around. They got a power play goal tonight. But you're right, on 5-on-5, they're a little bit slower to the puck. Speed kills in this league. And it looked like the Canadians had a lot more jump and a lot more aggressiveness and speed in tonight's hockey game.
Well, it's very true, Gareth. And what you're seeing as a coach and what we noticed tonight is there was no clean exchanges, really, for the most part. There was no clean outs out of the zone, mm-hmm. exits from the zone. And what that is whenever you're playing against a team that is putting the pressure and playing a fast game like Montreal did tonight, if you aren't in the proper pieces of ice for support, you can't exit fast, you can't play fast against a team that's pushing hard against you. So that's why you see all the turnovers, because guys are looking for options. Nobody's probably communicating and talking to each other. Turnovers are made, now you're spending more time in your zone. So all this stuff has to be cleaned up for them to play. They're a fast team. There's no two ways about it. They're one of the fastest teams in the National Hockey yeah. League up front. But if the forwards are going to be blowing the zones and the defense are left to their own devices, they're not going to be able to exit zones and keep their zone clean. And Montreal did a great job by pressing them. And if you're, like I said, if you're not executing those little details of support and exits, you're going to spend a lot of time in your own zone.
Yeah, we saw a few times, the stretch pass. It seemed like the Leafs, again, were relying a little bit too much on the stretch pass instead of the quick 4 or 5 foot passes, 1-2, and then you're out of the zone. Right. Like you said, not the clean ones. And yeah, we didn't see a ton of that tonight. So that's got to change. We know that. In the playoffs, you can't just hope for the best and throw the puck up the ice and see what the forwards can do. I mean, yes, that might work sometimes, but it's not a strategy you want to go into against teams that play structure.
Well, there will be a discussion about Ron Hainsey. Let's be very honest about that. That foot speed, he drew a penalty tonight, the first goal. He was drawn out into no man's land as well, and he was such a key member of this blue line for long stretches last year until he kind of lost his legs at the end of the year. Look, he's 35, 36 years old. He's in the twilight of his career, and tonight he was exposed at times. He brings value to this team, no doubt about that, but can he be a reliable top four guy playing big minutes alongside Morgan Riley? I mean, that remains to be seen, Greg.
Well, and that's what we're waiting to see, and he's not going to be able, I've said it before, is he's not going to be able to log the minutes night after night like he did last year. Like if you think he's going to be able to stick out for 2 full minutes killing a penalty every time almost, even though he is smart and he's very efficient at his energy consumption, But it's just going to take its toll. The body is another year older. He's played a lot of hockey last year. And tonight we saw some situations, like you said, Gareth, that he was beat. His foot speed was, he looked slow. And partially because he was not in position. The first one on the gap, he was way off, and Lehkonen just burned him. And you're not going to stop speed with a big gap. You've got to get up and close that ice. But anyway,
let's go down to the Scotiabank Arena. Here is head coach Mike Babcock in his post-game comments.
I thought Montreal played with great effort and great structure. I thought they worked real hard. I thought they were above the puck. I thought they were happy to put it in and get on top of us. I thought they worked real hard, to tell you the truth. I thought we got good goaltending. I thought they got really good goaltending as well. We had some great A's. But in the end, we won the game, but we got to work way harder and play way better than we did tonight. And, you guys can write all you want and tell everybody how great we all are, but it's the National Hockey League, and you got to come to work every day. And if you don't work harder than the other team, you don't put your work before your talent, you don't win. If you turn the puck over, you don't win. So there's probably lots of good messages. Every night when the pucks drop, you're playing a really good team. It doesn't matter how many points they have. I'm telling you, they're a real good team. So I think I mentioned that this morning when I had the lineup one above the other. I mentioned that same thing. But sometimes it doesn't matter what I say. It's more about what they know after they get out there. I thought tonight was a real good message, and we got 2 points at home.
So was the work issue, you think, as opposed to execution?
Well, I just think that when the other team's on top of you and they're hungrier than you and they're winning more 50-50 battles, then part of it's execution, part of it's work, part of it's You know, if you don't come back and stop, you flow by, it's hard to execute. So don't get me wrong, I like winning. So that's what the game, whole game, that's why I came here tonight. Real nice play by our guys in overtime. Hemmed them in, we changed, we were fresh, came with speed. All those things, we scored a nice power play goal. Our penalty kill looked good. We made the mistake there for the goal. I thought there was lots of good things. I thought Lindholm was really good. I thought Dermott played well. But we're way better than that, and we expect more, that's all. Yeah, obviously, and it was a good goal. Levo went to Lynette hard, just enough to distract Carey a little bit, and he was able to make the shot. You know, obviously Matthews, but I think we can be, you know, I think we're better, and I want us to play better and play right, and we will.
Are you confident this group doesn't need many messages or lessons, whatever they call it?
No, I'm not confident of anything. I'm just like you guys, you're learning them. Like, I think you think there's a big carryover from year to year. There's not. You know, I've been in the league a long time. You start all over again each and every year. And this is a different kind of team with a different set of expectations. But, you know, when you're real scared, it's easy to work hard. When you're not as scared, it's not as easy to work hard. And so hopefully that'll put a little scare in us and get going.
How do you get more cohesive as a five-man group to maybe bail out your blue line in terms of navigating that forecheck and better breakouts?
Yeah, I thought I said that already. I mean, they were on top of us all the time, so why not just get on top of them, and then it'll be way smoother coming out of our own zone. You know, if they establish their game first and they get on top of you first and they're in a five-man unit and there's no space, hard to make plays. If you get on top of them and you create space and you start wearing them out and you're out changing them, then you look pretty smooth. So tonight we didn't look that smooth. No, we did win, right? See you guys.
There you go. And we did win, right? That's the overriding message. The win may have been ugly, but the Maple Leafs come away with the 2 points in a 3-2 overtime win over the Montreal Canadiens. Gareth Wheeler alongside Glenn Sheeler and Greg Gilbert. He mentioned about the turnovers, some of the sloppy play. Take a look at the stats. 21 turnovers tonight for the Maple Leafs, just 10 for the Canadiens. And that kind of tells a lot of the game story and the way the game was played out there.
Definitely. And the shots against, because turnovers typically lead to scoring chances, and that happened time and time again against the Leafs tonight. I mean, they gave up almost 40 shots here, and how many times over the last couple of years have we harped on that fact? Like, here's another game where they're giving up 40-plus shots. Well, game one against the Montreal Canadiens, this trend is sort of continuing, and that's something they obviously got to clean up. Babcock saying afterwards to the media, you guys can write whatever you want to write, that we're great and everything, but we know. No, I don't think any reporters watched, or even fans watched that game and thought the Maple Leafs, you know, dominated the game. I don't think, you know.
They were second best. They were second best on the night.
So for Mike to say that we're, you know, people are going to write that the Leafs were great. No, I don't think that's the case. No one's jumping on that yet. But hey, they won the game. They got the 2 points because it got to overtime, and they are the better offensive team. So you got to be happy about that. But there's, after game one, stuff to work on, which is normal.
Honestly, though, Greg, as a former coach, I mean, it's almost best case scenario. You win the game, you come away with the 2 points, but you get to drill into your players, look, nothing's going to be gifted to us. You're going to have to work and clean things up if we're going to get to where we want to go.
No, absolutely.
Best case scenario.
Absolutely. And that's what I said earlier. It's, you won the game, but there's a lot of lessons to be taught through this sub-performance, as far as I'm concerned. It wasn't very good at all. It was outmanned, outworked. I mean, not so much outskilled, but outshot, outhit. I mean, how many outs do you have to have before your guys are going to give their head a shake and go, yeah, you know what, we weren't very good. And I'm sure the guys in that dressing room aren't happy with their performance, and they're going to get better. But it does take work. You've got to practice to get better. You can't just do this and make corrections through games. You've got to put the time in through the practices to work on the things that you have to address. And if they don't do that, the same stuff will continue.
I also like to listen to the players that he throws out their name, players that made an impression for him. And there was three of them that jumped out. One with his goaltender, Frederik Andersen. Yeah, he played really well tonight. Was beat by Paul Byron, didn't beat the post. But overall, Andersen was very good on the night, making 29 saves. He also threw out Travis Dermott, who made a big stop, looked like a gaping net, But Dermott only played less than 18 minutes, fifth most for Maple Leafs blue liners. Then he threw at Lindholm in his NHL debut, played over just 12 minutes. It's funny, picking out the fourth line center of all players. I didn't notice Lindholm too much. That one was a little bit peculiar to me, but I don't know. I just always kind of listened for that. Dermott with good reason, because I think that he's a player that's really going to be in the spotlight in terms of Maple Leafs fans tracking him, because I think he's going to have to be relied upon a whole lot more than he has been in the past, during his rookie season.
Yeah, he's starting on the depth chart pretty low, obviously fifth, sixth defenseman, but I mean, yeah, maybe they're going to need him to creep up a little bit and play a few more minutes every night and be the difference if a guy like Ron Hainsey is starting to look 1 year older very quickly, which we saw that on the first goal tonight for the Habs. Hainsey got danced around. That's going to happen. We talked to Kristen Shilton in the intermission. She said he kind of is who he is. We know that's what's going to happen from time to time. So it's now up to Mike Babcock and the Leafs to use him, I guess, a little more properly. Don't overuse him like maybe they did last year, Greg.
No, you're absolutely right, and it's a great point. And now the onus, though, is on Mike Babcock.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's set in his ways. He's got his pairings. He's got his guys that he really likes, and not that he dislikes anybody. But if there's nights where Morgan Rielly or Jake Gardner or Ron Hainsey are not playing well and struggling, that's where you have to start sending the message, because Travis Dermott has the ability to put pressure on those guys above him. And as soon as those guys above him start to see that he's starting to take some of their minutes and chew into their minutes because they aren't performing up to their expectations, the onus is on the coach to make that move, because the message will be sent.
Consequences.
Consequences. Yeah. The message will be sent. Yeah. Not guys sitting on the bench not having a great game knowing that, oh, he's not going to put him ahead of me. No, you have to do that. That's how the internal competition becomes better. That's how you push your better players to be better. Because as soon as they start to slip, somebody steps over them, and it's an eye-opener for them.
Maple Leafs win their season opener 3-2 over the Montreal Canadiens at the Scotiabank Arena. You're going to hear from the game winner, Austin Matthews, scored two goals on the night, a big one in overtime to give the Maple Leafs the W in the season opener. And Matthews, in his post-game availability, was asked about Brendan Shanahan's comments about players taking a little bit less in terms of salary. You're going to hear Austin Matthews' response to that question next. This is Maple Leafs Game Night in our post-game show. Gareth Wheeler, Glenn Sheeler, and the great Greg Gilbert with you right here on TSN 1050. Start for your Toronto Maple Leafs wasn't pretty. Austin Matthews, his second goal tonight, the overtime winner from Patrick Marleau, and the Maple Leafs beat the Montreal Canadiens 3-2 was the final. Good evening, Toronto. Happy hockey. Gareth Wheeler, Glenn Sheeler, and Greg Gilbert with you. We'll spin you around tonight's other action across the NHL. Four games in total. A sensational scoreline out of Washington. We'll get into that in a few moments' time. And two other games just underway on the West Coast. Austin Matthews, two goals, two spectacular finishes, and here's what AM34 had to say in his post-game media availability.
Austin, on a night where time and space was so limited, did you like your chances to get a chance 3-on-3 with the possibility of a victory there?
Yeah, it's always fun opening it up, and we've got a lot of skill on our team, letting everybody do their thing, so it's fun. Obviously, nice to get a win. Kind of an ugly win for us tonight. I thought they kind of outworked us most of the game and had us back in our heels. But a lot we can learn from and move forward. But it's a good 2 points for us.
Put that down to nerves early this game, the sloppiness.
I don't know. Maybe could be nerves. This first game, kind of just want to get that under your belt and just get it. Get it going already. So I don't know. I mean, they came out jumping. Their team, they work hard. I think a lot of people have kind of written them off, but they're hungry. And we saw it in preseason. We saw it tonight. They work hard. They play fast, and they don't give you much space. So
Austin, take me through that game-winning goal. Just the play and that feeling, seeing the puck go on the top of the net. Seemed like it took a perfect shot to be carried tonight.
Yeah, it was a perfect pass. I thought. Patty had me there, and he was able to get it over him. He made a lot of diving saves where he's getting his leg out, and it looks like it's going to go in the back of the net, and Carey just sticks his leg out or his arm, and he makes the save, so that's why he's one of the best goalies. And just a great pass by Patty, and was able to get it over his blocker.
Austin,
What did you see from Freddie that enabled him to keep you guys in the game and give you a chance to win it as you did?
Yeah, we got to be way better for him. He made a lot of saves, too many. You know, we didn't really take care of the puck and D zone. We were kind of slow to get into our guy, and you know, they had a lot of grade A chances, and he stood on his head for us tonight, and it gave us an opportunity, and you know, we were fortunate to come away with 2 points.
Mean to see John contribute here in his first game, a big night for him.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a big sigh of relief for him to just kind of get the monkey off the back and you know, just go play now. So I can't imagine what he's gone through the last 3-4 months, and then all the hype leading up into his first game here. So happy for him. Obviously, he's a great player, and I'm sure we'll be seeing more of that throughout the season.
Austin, Brendan didn't say it in so many words, but he kind of hinted today what he was talking about. Guys like yourself and William and Mitch are going to have to kind of take a hometown discount to keep the group together. And I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we got agents, right? So we'll let them figure it out, talk to management. We'll stay out of it and just play hockey.
So what do you see at the end of your first goal?
Just try to get the team moving one way and kind of try to use them as a screen. So we had a couple really nice chances there, and Mo kind of just slung one over to me and had some space, and just tried to change the angle a little bit, use them as a screen, and was able to score. So it's kind of nice to get that one going.
Auston Matthews in his post-game chat, scoring the game-winning goal, one of two on the night. Maple Leafs beat the Habs 3-2 is the final. Wheeler, Sheeler, and Gilbert with you. Okay, let's work our way backwards here, because I think the big-picture discussion and that answer right there from Auston Matthews is going to be a bigger item of discussion moving forward than anything that he did tonight, with all due respect to two great goals that he scored. But great question was asked right there. And Brendan Shanahan opened up this can of worms. The president of the Maple Leafs early in their day insinuating when he played for the Red Wings, each and every player took a little bit less in order to have team success when asked about Nylander's contract negotiation. Different time, different place. And that Red Wings team, well, those star players were well compensated by the buy. The president didn't have to go there, but he did. And I think that Matthews' response was poignant. That's why we have agents. He said nothing about his preference of taking less money. You know that no agent is going to say, go out there and take less. Take one for the team there, Austin. Take a little bit less money just to do a solid for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I think that a can of worms is being opened here, and I think that it's a proper response coming from Auston Matthews. Let my agent do the talking. I'm just going to continue to play hockey. And Greg, if he continues to play hockey like that, those dollar signs and the value of what his contract will continue to go up and up and up and up and up.
I got no argument with you there. I mean, that's exactly right. And for a young fella to come out and say exactly what he did, let my agent look after it. I just want to play hockey. He's only focusing on what he has control of. Let the business side look after the business side. I just want to go out and have fun and help this team win hockey games, and things will look after itself.
He doesn't want this to get ugly. No. That makes sense. But he's also, I think, got to realize that there's some truth to what Brendan Shanahan said as well. I mean, everyone's thinking it. Everyone knows it. Guys just kind of do have to take a bit less now. And I'm not talking, you know, $3 or $4 million less. You're only talking like maybe a 5 or 10% less of what you might get if you want the max money, if per se. $12.5 million is the standard set by Connor McDavid. Does Auston Matthews want to go and say, oh, no, I'm worth $13 million? And that's the hill I'm going to die on. I don't see him being that type of a guy. I think he will want to get a deal done that's, it's going to be double digits. Let's not kid ourselves. It's going to be close to Tavares' money, if not a bit more. But, and that should be enough. I mean, shouldn't it be? And if it means keeping the team and the core together to win, because they are a really good team, then I think he's going to go ahead and do it.
It should be, but in whatever contract negotiation, I don't care what job you do, you're going to try to maximize your value. You're not going to be like, well, that's a good number for me. I might deserve, or, you know, based on what others make who are of a similar ability, they're making a little bit more. But, yeah, you know what? I'm comfortable taking a little bit less. Not very many people would take that position, especially when you're in the NHL. You have an infinite time, that is, in terms of your playing career. We see it all the time in this National Hockey League. Players in their early, mid-30s are getting pinched out. They're losing their jobs, not based upon their skill or what they can bring to the table. It's based upon what they make. So this gives every right for a player that's young to try to maximize on their earning power now while they're in their prime or approaching their prime in terms of capitalizing on what they can be as well.
But I wouldn't,
let's put it this way, Glenn. I'm not holding against any player if they're going to go out and try to make the most money they can.
I agree. I can't argue that, but I also think like when you're talking about 5% of $10 million or $12 million, and this isn't going to be Austin Matthews' last contract. He'll be 28 when he becomes a free agent again, like John Tavares was just now. And you can go get your next big contract if you really want the most maximum money. Maybe wait until the window.
But if you're like Matthews, I'm like, worry about taking care of like the third line winger or the fifth defenseman later. I'm your face of your franchise.
I think it's more about the core, not about the third line winger. It's about making sure that William can stay there, that Marner can get paid, and now of course Tavares, and that is the core right there. Morgan Riley, maybe, if you want to include him into that. Not worrying about what Zach Hyman's going to get. I mean, yeah, they're all friendly, and they want everyone to make as much money as possible, but I'm just talking about keeping the core pieces together. That I think players now have to realize in a cap world, that's the way it's got to go.
Greg?
Well, I'm going to comment on the point you made, because...
This
No, it's a great point, and I don't think people really look at it that way, but years ago, that was part of the plan, it seemed like, for the National Hockey League, is they wanted to eliminate the middle players. You look at the salary structures on most teams now, and there's a ton of guys under $1 million, and there's six or seven that are getting paid a ton, and everybody in between is gone. And that's exactly what Gareth was saying. And again, I'm going back to my point made earlier. Like, the comparatives now, because of some bad decisions and bad contracts, have shot everything through the roof.
20 goals and you're a $5 million player.
Absolutely. Yeah. And 20 goals for 1 year.
Yeah.
Like, you went from 8 to 12 to 20. Now you're getting $5 million, then you go back to 8.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where I look at as the majority of the problem of these escalating contracts. And Gareth, I agree 100%. Players should get exactly what they want, because there's been some mistakes made in contracts. They've pushed the ceiling up, and people are using comparatives of, like, the one I used was Jack Eichel. He's played two half seasons. He's been hurt, but now all of a sudden he's $10 million.
Yeah.
For what?
Potential, based on potential.
Potential's right? Scary. It's a dangerous word. Well, it's a scary thing, but they are paying on potential. So, doesn't make sense.
Moreover, like, okay, Shanahan, when he was with Detroit, and I'm not trying to pick on the president here, but let's get after what he said. When he was with that Red Wings team, the salary cap came into play his final year with the Red Wings, and no one was taking discounts. The average salary, team salary in the league was about $38 million. The Red Wings had a payroll of $68
million.
Yeah. So it's a little bit disingenuous, especially to suggest that Tavares took a kind of discount. He's making $11 million per. I think that's more than fair. Mm-hmm. And this season alone, Tavares is making more money than any other player in the NHL at $15.9 million. Okay, so to suggest that Tavares took a discount to play here in Toronto is just not true. Maybe he could have made a little bit more playing, right?
Yeah.
But he's not like, he didn't take a haircut.
But that's what I'm talking
to play here in Toronto.
That's why Matthews, instead of taking 12.5, take 11.5, because he probably could get 12.5 realistically if he was an unrestricted free agent. Probably get 13.
But who's to say he can't go somewhere else and play for another very good team? There's so much parity. We don't know who's going to win the Stanley Cup. We don't know if keeping this Maple Leafs core together is going to guarantee that Austin Matthews would win a Stanley Cup here.
Right.
He has to take care of himself. That's why I like his answer tonight. My agent's going to determine that. And my play, by me focusing on hockey and me being great and helping making this team great, that's going to determine what I'm going to get paid. And tonight, without Austin Matthews on the ice, honestly, Glenn and Greg, you don't win tonight's hockey game.
No.
Without a player like Austin Matthews tonight, you don't pick up the 2 points, because it goes to the team that played better, and that was the Canadian.
Hey, and like I said, if Austin Matthews goes out this year and wins the Rocket Richard Trophy, scores 50+, wins the Hart Trophy, the MVP of the league, then the money's going to be laid out for you. This is Connor McDavid got this money because he won the Hart Trophy and he won the Art Ross Trophy, and he has the trophies to show for it. And if Austin does the same thing this year, then sure, then give him the Connor McDavid money. But to this point, he's not in that category. He has to prove it still that he can produce to those kind of numbers. So he's off to a great start after one game, and I believe he will get there. I believe he can be an Art Ross candidate and a Hart Trophy candidate. But until he does, I don't see the reason to, you know, for him even to say, well, I deserve $12.5, $13 million.
Right.
I think he could be happy with $11, get everyone their money, take a little bit less for now.
I just don't see it.
And if it means a Stanley Cup or being a Stanley Cup contender, it makes too much sense to me.
I don't see it working that way. Let's hear from the TSN hockey panel, shall we? Here is James Duffy and Company.
All right, thank you. That panel is Dave Poulin and Jamie McLennan. One of the dumbest questions that was asked after Tavares signed with the Leafs was, can two alpha males, Austin Matthews and John Tavares, coexist on the same team? Of course they can, and this was the perfect example. This was the vision that every Leaf fan had since July 1st of these two guys scoring and the Leafs winning. Look, it was far from a perfect game, but did the goals and the W overshadow everything else?
Well, for opening night, there were a lot of opening night jitters, and they weren't themselves. But yes, certainly the two bigs came to score at the proper times, and it started with the power play. Everybody figured it would. Austin Matthews, what a shot off that flank. And it really started with Tavares going to the corner to help retrieve the puck. But what a tremendous shot. John Tavares coming across, cutting back. He goes top shelf right underneath the bar. And then in overtime, of course, Patrick Marleau down. A little delay by Austin Matthews, and then the finish. So if you came to see the number one and two centermen, they were both pretty good. By the way, the number three centerman, Nazem Kadri, had two assists as well, so the centermen did their job.
If you took the whole 60 minutes, he might have been the best of the three on this night. I mean, the hype was so ridiculous coming in. I think people walked into that building expecting an 8-1 win and hat-tricks from both guys. And the Montreal Canadiens were, for a lot of the game, the better team. What's the concern from the Leafs out of this first game?
For me, the concern, it's the same formula as they had success last year. Is yes, they could outscore some of their issues, but they're taxing their goaltender way too much. You give up 36 shots on goal. Yes, there's some jitters, and there's a long road, but this is where Coach Mike Babcock will point to, hey, we've got to clean up our own end, because the Montreal Canadiens 5-on-5 were the better team. They pressured the D, and they really got the Maple Leafs to play in their own zone. And what happens? You end up stressing the goaltender. Frederick Anderson was terrific at critical points for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and that allows them to go to the other end and score and win the game.
You never like to lose your opener, but that's as close to a successful first game as you can get for the Montreal Canadiens. The expectations weren't high. They're going against a team where the expectations were super high, and they looked really, really good. What impressed you most about Montreal's performance?
Their 5-on-5 play and their speed. You know, interesting decision by Claude Julien to sit two veterans, Thomas Plekanec and Carl Alzner, which was a big surprise going into the game. But they played really, really fast night. And Max Domi was terrific all night. He was around the puck. But I mentioned earlier that going in the three slot may have been his best place on the team. With Kotkaniemi suiting in as number two, Max Domi was all over the place night. He had two assists. He was leading the pace. Kotkaniemi with his first career point and assist, and overall, Claude Julien's got to be very, very pleased with the pace of his hockey team.
Carey Price, after 3 years in the top five of our top 50 players, fell completely out of it this year. It's only one game. You don't read too much in it, but that looked like the Carey Price of the previous 3 years.
Absolutely. He gave his team an opportunity to win. Yeah, this is a team that may not score a lot of goals, or that's what everyone's projecting. Well, Price made big saves at the right time. Delivers a huge point for the Montreal Canadiens, and you felt that the Canadiens had to finish the Toronto Maple Leafs off in regulation, because you know 3-on-3, it didn't look that fair, but right. Ultimately, Carey Price was brilliant in this game, and if that's any inkling of how he's going to play this season, Montreal fans have to be pretty happy.
It certainly wasn't a perfect game, but for both teams, an awful lot of positives. You get Montreal and Price looking good, and the newcomers like Domi and the kids looking all right, and for Toronto, Tavares scores, Matthews gets a couple, and off they go.
There you go, James Duffy, Dave Poulin, and our very own from Overdrive, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Wheeler, Sheeler, and Gilbert with you. Pooley was on 5-on-5, and now the Canadians were dominant in that category. There's no denying that. They had a 30-20 edge in shots at 5-on-5, 63-47 in shot attempts at 5-on-5. That's an area of play I think surprised a lot of us. When you look at the Habs, specifically down the middle of the ice, it's a no-contest. contest against the Canadiens, but they did a real nice job pressuring and putting pressure on the Maple Leafs back end and forcing turnovers. In that category, 21 turnovers to 10. So I think the boys are spot on right there. A lot to build from with the Montreal Canadiens tonight. You get solid goaltending, you work your opponents, good things are going to fall your way. This was just a night where out-and-out talent really paid off and determined the outcome, Greg.
And you know what, Garrett, it's about finish, too. I mean, if Gallagher pots that one in the second period, they're up. And if Byron doesn't pop one off the post, mm-hmm. they're up again. And yes, Toronto had some opportunities, but if Montreal had a little bit more finish, I think there's a different outcome to this game. So, and again, you know, you can go back to what Mike Babcock said, and tonight was the classic example. They just got outworked. And if you don't work before your talent, then you're done. And they were almost done tonight, but fortunately, the skill took over and found a way to win it in overtime. But for the most part, Montreal was the better team. And it's just, if they had a little more finish, I think the game would have gone a different
way. No, here's a question. And yes, effort work rate is part of it. Would William Nylander have played any kind of role in making a difference tonight? Because this is going to be the question. What, like, I didn't even see and notice Ennis on the ice very much at all over the course of the night.
Right.
Nylander's an upgrade, and that's a relative and a reasonable question to ask as long as Nylander's not in the Maple Leafs lineup. And while Nylander's losing money, the Maple Leafs are losing a top talent in their team.
Yeah, and a guy that likes to handle the puck as well. So yes. Maybe if Nylander's out there, you have the puck a little bit more. But, I mean, it's tough to say. Give Montreal credit. They had a game plan coming in. They got the puck kind of old school style. They would dump it behind the D, yeah. Chase it down, win a couple battles, and cycle it around. And Toronto really didn't have an answer. They didn't get much for clean breakouts against Montreal. And they got some two-on-one chances by throwing the puck up the ice as they do. And, you know, as skilled as they are, Toronto is going to create those chances each and every game. But yeah, overall, another observation, guys, that Kadri had a pretty quietly solid game. I mean, two assists, but one thing I noticed, I mean, the game ended so quickly in overtime, they put Tavares out first, and then Babcock goes with the Matthews line second, so Kadri didn't get a chance in overtime to make a difference. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think a lot of times last year in overtime, he started with Kadri face-off number one. He trusts him defensively, responsible. Now, that's when a player like John Tavares comes into the fold, guys are going to have to sacrifice. And I think Kadri, this is an example of it. Yes, he still got 2 points tonight, but not being on the ice in overtime, I know it ended quickly, like I said, but Tavares is just going to be ahead of you on that depth chart each and every time, right?
Well, as he should be.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about it. And the skill and the point difference, point production difference is, I don't want to say huge, but there's a pretty significant gap there.
Yeah.
So you're going to use those guys, and he trusts John Tavares defensively, so he can put him out against the opposition stop.
But he didn't trust Kadri enough last year, right?
I mean, absolutely.
But now it's like an upgrade.
But now that you have Tavares, mm-hmm. it is, absolutely. Did he trust Austin Matthews last year defensively to go up against the opposition stop mm-hmm. center?
Right.
I don't think so.
So he put him out there tonight, second.
Yeah. Second, right.
Yeah.
So he's following up with the second unit. So.
We just have a couple minutes left. My biggest takeaway from tonight is that oftentimes on a night like this, talent plays out. Good teams win games where sometimes they're second best, and when you have an Austin Matthews, it is the makings of a great team. And that's what I'm going to take away more than anything from tonight. Let's go with each of your takeaways. Glenn, start with you. What are you taking away from tonight?
From the Toronto side of things, the stars were the stars. And like you said, I mean, if those guys are your best players and they give them chances, they're going to bury. And Tavares made a great individual play to score his first as a Leaf. And Matthews, what can you say about that first shot? I mean, nobody's stopping that. And the second overtime winner, 3-on-3, the Leafs are going to kill a lot of teams. On the Montreal side, I think the expectation, the bar is set so low that they have to be happy with the way they played, the way they worked, and the way that Carey Price played as well. Because this is a goalie that did not look like that much at all last year, so he seems to be back to top form.
Oh, absolutely.
And Greg?
And I'll start with Montreal, and I think the takeaway for this is this young team that they have right now is going to look at how they played tonight, and they're going to feel comfortable with it, and they're going to gain confidence in this new style of play, the up-tempo game that they had, and in their minds, they should have won. There's no question about it. On the Toronto side, I think the takeaway is going to be these guys have to understand that they've still got work to do.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
They've said it before the game, the coaches have said it, the players have said it, but until we start to see the actual correction and cleaning up of some areas in that game, talk is cheap. So I think down the road they're going to understand the importance of those little things that right now they're not executing as well as they have to.
Good stuff. Maple Leafs win 3-2 in overtime. Elsewhere tonight in the NHL, no contest in Washington as the reigning Stanley Cup champions wipe, completely just feed the Boston Bruins. 7-0 was the final. Six different goal scorers. Kuznetsov had 2 goals. Backstrom, 3 assists on the night, and Ovi with a goal and assist. They chased Tuukka Rask. Difficult game for Rask. Impressive performance from the Washington Capitals. Brad Marchand got into it with Lars Eller tonight, punching him in the face when they were down 7 goals. Eller kept his gloves on. I'll let you interpret what you may from how that situation played out. And going on right now, Elias Pettersson scores his first NHL goal in the first period. We're through 20 minutes. The Canucks leading the Flames 1-0. And in San Jose, it was the Anaheim Ducks opening the scoring through Max Comtois. No idea who he is. 49 seconds into the game.
Great junior Canadian.
Was he?
Yeah, Team Canada.
There you go. And Evander Kane gets one back for the Sharks. It's 1-1 midway through the first. Great stuff tonight. My line mates, they carried me through. Glenn Sheeler, Greg Gilbert. Thanks, guys, for this tonight.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks very much for having us. That
great
awesome
work. Greg, you're used to carrying the mustache around. You carried this pale kid through tonight. And I think it was broadcast history, the Triple G connection, or the Triple G line right here on TSN 1050. I want to thank Natasha. I want to thank Tyler, Andy behind the glass. On behalf of everyone here at TSN 1050, I'm Wheels. Maple Leafs win. Maple Leafs win. Enjoy the rest of your night, Toronto.